Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by VIN. Find and buy a new car, and even test drive it, without once setting foot at a dealership. Visit vinautos.com for more details and check out their new landing page solely for EVs. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week our team will post a weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. This week's theme is West Coast weather. To find out how you can enter, check out Monday's Capital Daily newsletter. Hi, I'm Ben Waterworth and welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. Today on the podcast,
I was so grateful to hear when I heard that I received the award, and I really hope that I can hold up to John's legacy that he's made here and in Abbotsford and everywhere across Canada.
We chat with local rugby player and the 2020 recipient of the John Kenner Memorial Fund, Kira Perry, about just what receiving the fund means to her and how she went from a successful jump rope and gymnastics career into rugby. Annual John Kenner Memorial Fund was handed out last month, and this year's recipient was Abbotsford rugby player Kira Perry. The fund helps assist Abbotsford rugby players to pursue their representative ambitions and is named in honour of the late John Kenner, often regarded as one of the greatest rugby players ever to emerge from Abbotsford, who sadly passed away at the age of 35 in 2016. A somewhat latecomer to the sport, Kira has so far worked her way up the competitive rugby ladder since taking it up, having taken part in the Rugby Canada Development Academy, as well as touring with the Celtic Barbarians. And to chat a bit more about what receiving the fund means to her, as well as what it will help her with, Kira joins me now on the Capital Daily Podcast. Kira, thanks very much for your time on the podcast today.
I'm very excited to be here and chat with you as well. Thanks for having me.
Most welcome. And it must be a pretty exciting time for yourself and your rugby career to be the recipient of the John Kenner Memorial Fund. For those who maybe aren't overly familiar with the fund itself, could you give us a brief overview of what the John Kenner Memorial Fund is and what exactly it represents?
Yeah, so John Kenner was an Abbotsford rugby player, and he went on to play for Rugby Canada and was supposedly a rugby legend and is said to be one of the best rugby players to ever come out of Abbotsford. And when he was done playing with Rugby Canada and came back to Abbotsford, he really wanted to support the younger generation and help them in becoming better rugby players. And so he did this by having... when he passed away, when he was 35, he passed away from a heart attack, unfortunately, and I was never fortunate enough to meet John. But when he did pass away, they created a memorial fund for him, which every year they pick an athlete and pass along some money for them to help support them in their rugby careers.
Fantastic. And in terms of the money itself that you say supports the rugby career, so is this sort of directed into helping you out with achieving further ambitions through rugby? Does it help in towards putting you into certain programs or things like that? What specifically does that money go towards?
I'm actually allowed to decide where the money goes towards, and I'm using it for my university studies, which is helping me be here so that I can play rugby for UVic.
And that must be pretty exciting then, because I believe you haven't always been involved in rugby, Kira, or something that you did switch to from gymnastics. But I guess as soon as you started loving this sport that you are progressing in right now, I mean, something like this is obviously a huge help towards your further ambitions in the sport.
Yeah, I actually didn't start rugby until grade 7. Before then, I was a national jump roper and a competitive gymnast. And I didn't decide to just stick to rugby till grade 9 when I had to pick one of the three. But yeah, it was definitely the right choice. And I love the sport so much. And it's become my whole entire life.
I've got to ask the obvious question, Kira. How do you go from national jump roping and gymnastics to rugby? I don't really see a connection between these sports there. Please tell me how that happened.
I have no idea. I guess I always was a little bit more aggressive than everybody else. But I'm definitely not like the anticipated size of a rugby player. I'm only 5'3". I'm very short. So it wasn't really expected that I would go into rugby, but my dad did coach. So he kind of pushed me into playing for my middle school. And then I just went on from there.
Great. And was it something that, you know, you'd watched your dad sort of be involved with? And is it something you'd seen games on TV and that and thought that was something that maybe you would be slightly interested in? Or did it just finally click one time, the pressure from your dad got too much? Like, all right, Dad, I'll give it a go.
Well, I never really, my dad coached rugby when I was really young, so I never really experienced it. I knew that he had coached at my middle school before I had been there, but I never really witnessed it firsthand, but I had friends that had played. And so I just really wanted to try it out, even though I didn't know much about it. And it was definitely the right decision.
And how is it something to progress in from that age? You come from, I guess, two very agile sports in jump roping and gymnastics to something that, as you said, it's a bit more aggressive. You know, you can sort of use that agility, of course, to your advantage, but you've got to be a bit more physical than you would be jumping a rope or going on a pommel horse or something like that. So, I mean, did you find the biggest challenge in adapting from those sports that you were doing into rugby?
Well, I think that the biggest challenge for me was just like understanding the game, since I came from such different sports and it wasn't familiar to me, just understanding how it worked and how, like, what the best things were to do. Just all of that was the biggest struggle for me.
With the Memorial Fund, I believe you actually were coached by John's father, Peter, for a little bit. What was that experience like? And didn't he often talk a lot about the legacy and sort of the ability that his son, John, had?
Yeah, I was actually coached by Peter when I was playing U16 rugby. He's definitely a great coach and he had so much wisdom on the sport. He didn't talk so much about John because I didn't really get super close with him while I was playing on the team. But I did hear about John through him from time to time and through other people. And yeah, John definitely holds a legacy in Abbotsford.
What does it mean to you, Kira, to receive the fund, I guess, to continue that legacy for Abbotsford rugby, for Victoria rugby, Canadian rugby, all those sort of levels? I mean, what does it mean to you to receive the fund?
It means so much to me. I was so grateful to hear when I heard that I received the award. And I really hope that I can hold up to John's legacy that he's made here and in Abbotsford and everywhere across Canada.
When it comes to the rugby program with the Vikes, I mean, how has that been for you finding that? And I mean, where does that put you on a level that you hope to progress to with your rugby? I mean, is this a stepping stone into the next level? I mean, is this something that you're hoping will take you towards national representation or maybe an Olympics or a World Cup level? Kind of what's that ambition and where do you hope this will take you?
Yeah, UVic rugby is definitely great. They have an amazing program, which is why I picked it. Brittany Waters, the head coach, is an amazing coach, and I really think that she's going to help me get to the next level because I really do hope to one day play for the World Cup or the Olympics, because playing for Rugby Canada is definitely the dream. So, yeah, I think that UVic was definitely the right decision for me, and I'm really glad to be here, and I've learned a lot so far.
Is it something that you have to focus on one or the other with the 15s or the 7s? Because I guess it's a unique sport, rugby, isn't it, where it kind of has two different pathways, but you can also, I guess, connect them. Many players do connect both of them. But is there sort of one that you want to focus on, maybe focus towards an Olympics and then after that go towards the World Cup, vice versa? Or is it a case of just seeing where things go and you'll work that out when that decision maybe comes one day?
Yeah, I think it's a case of just seeing what happens and just going with it. I definitely always was like more focused on sevens than 15s. But now it's kind of looking more like 15s and 7s. So I'm not really too sure. I'd definitely like to play both. So hopefully I can intertwine the two and get both of them in there.
I believe you, through this program and kind of developing your rugby, you're in a program, the Rugby Canada Development Academy, which essentially sees you training 7 days a week. Now, as somebody myself, Kira, who I barely can train one day a week, I mean, what's it like training 7 days a week? And are there days you just want to get up and go, okay, yeah, no, today I'm calling in sick coach or something like that? Or is that motivation just too much? You're just needing to get out there on the pitch and train?
Yeah, last year I was a part of the Rugby Development Academy, and it was definitely hard. We only trained 5 days a week, though.
Right.
It was definitely hard, though. But I love the sport so much that I just found so much fun in it. So it wasn't such a struggle to get up every morning and go. Obviously, it was difficult, but I loved the sport so much that I was just so passionate about it, and I always wanted to improve. So it just helped me get the last rep out of a set, or like just help me get up in the morning, even just push myself really hard.
Do you have a favorite training activity that you would do in that program?
I really liked weightlifting. It's probably one of my favorite things ever.
Right. So that's really that development from the gymnastics and the jump roping thing to really weightlifting. I mean, I can't imagine in jump roping you'd be doing much weightlifting, would you?
Definitely not.
So that's a fun sport in itself. I know we need to talk about rugby, Kira, but I mean, how far can you go with jump roping? Like, what's the top level for jump roping, and how far did you get towards that?
Well, it's a little bit confusing, but I did jump rope with the Abbotsford Skipping Sensations in Abbotsford, and basically you go to provincials with that team, and then if you make it to nationals or qualify for nationals, then you'll go to nationals with Team BC. And then if you qualify for worlds, then you'll go to worlds with Team Canada. And I actually quit jump rope the year before our team got to go to worlds,
wow,
which is so sad.
Wow.
But yeah, I definitely did go to nationals, which was so fun. And I got to travel all across Canada for that. So
great. I'm sure one day when you've got an Olympic medal around your neck, potentially, Kira, that you might look back and go, okay, well, right decision potentially here.
Definitely.
When it comes to the pandemic, of course, at the moment, it's made it a little bit tricky for sports at the moment. How have you found this current situation, and sort of where are you at presently when it comes to what you can and can't do with rugby at the moment?
Well, it's definitely unfortunate playing my first year of university in the midst of a pandemic, especially since rugby is a contact sport and the contact aspect of it has just been stripped. But playing at UVic is definitely really good for me, because we've been looking at all the other aspects of rugby other than contact. And also UVic has done a really good job of making sure that our athletes and our students are all safe within COVID restrictions and everything. And I've still continued to learn a lot, obviously, because Brittany Waters is such an amazing coach. So it's definitely unfortunate playing within COVID, but I don't know, I'm still enjoying it.
Is it also a case where you might be able to use some of these opportunities to bond a lot more with your teammates? Because obviously a sport like rugby, very team focused, and clearly the more and more you bond with your teammates, the better that on-field chemistry is going to be. So is Brittany kind of going through opportunities like that outside of rugby, where you maybe can't do a lot of what you would generally do, to use it as team bonding things to get to know each other a little bit better?
Yeah, we definitely do lots of team bonding on our Zoom calls and even at practice. One day we actually, one of our coaches brought in a world-class dance instructor.
Wow.
And we learned a dance instead of rugby practice because of COVID restrictions. And it was the most fun ever. And I think everybody enjoyed it a lot.
What sort of dancing are you doing? What type of dance moves are you able to pull off now, maybe when you're out there on the pitch, to kind of scare the opposition?
I don't think I would be pulling off any dance moves in front of anybody.
But it must be moments like that, though, where it is kind of fun. Like, to always look through positives in situations like this. I mean, that's something you're not probably going to be doing in regular time. So, I mean, that's a unique experience that I'm sure once you've gotten this fund and you're at UVic, you probably never thought you would be experiencing something like that.
Yeah, definitely not.
And in terms of sort of like what you can do in the training, I mean, is it just a case of a lot of movement, a lot of kicking, a lot of passing, things like that? I mean, without the physical contact aspect, there obviously are workarounds, but is that kind of what you're doing? And are you finding yourself improving in a lot of these assets that maybe, again, you weren't focusing on prior to this situation?
Yeah, we've definitely been working a lot on like decision making and passing and handling and kicking, yeah. So I think I have improved in all of these skills, especially during quarantine when I was stuck at home. I spent a lot of time working on just my individual skills, and I think that has actually helped me improve tremendously.
Do you find yourself also watching a lot of games, whether it be at local games in terms of tapes, or maybe watching some of the stuff from Europe or from Australia, New Zealand, things like that? And if so, does that help you a lot in kind of reading the game and picking up on sort of some aspects that maybe you feel that you can always improve on, or that you just want to learn a little bit more of a certain part of the game?
Yeah, I especially like watching rugby when I'm switching between sevens and 15s, just to help me keep my head in the game because it's hard to switch back and forth since they're such different games. So I really love watching New Zealand and Canada, of course. So I definitely do watch lots of rugby.
Is there, besides the obvious thing where there's 15 players versus 7 players is the obvious answer, Kira, but I mean, what is the main difference between the two, particularly as a player, when you come to switching between them? You mentioning the differences between them. What are the biggest challenges in switching between the two forms of the game?
I think the biggest challenge is that they're structured so differently. And since I play in the middle of the field as a fly half or a scrum half, it's hard to control the game when you just don't understand it super well. So it's really hard when you go from having so much space with seven people to the field being so much more cramped up with 15, and you have to structure it better and you have more like ways to do things, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And the sevens, I mean, it's obviously a lot quicker as well. I know a lot of people loved watching it during the Olympics, particularly those who maybe hadn't been exposed to it as much as some others had. And obviously, coming from a rugby country myself, clearly a lot of people do love the sport. But I know in speaking to, I remember speaking to somebody from Canada at the time who actually wasn't really in the right part of the country to follow rugby. And they fell in love with the game just watching it at the Olympics. So that added exposure for something like sevens at a world level like the Olympics, I guess, turns people into the game a little bit more where they can develop and watch something like the 15. So I'm not sure if you see many people who kind of will watch you in the sevens and go, oh, cool, I want to watch more of this. I mean, is that something you regularly find?
Yeah, a lot of people do watch and like both of them. It's more when it comes to playing the game when people differentiate and decide or pick one or the other. But yeah, sevens definitely is a lot faster and the game goes by so much quicker. So I don't know. I definitely wouldn't be able to pick if I had to pick between one or the other. I like both so much. I like watching both. I like playing both. So I'm not really too sure.
Whenever I talk to athletes from certain sports, there's always that level of the trash talk out in the field, Kira. I always like to find certain sports have it more so than others. But I'd love to find out when it comes to, local rugby here on the island. What's the trash talk level like when you're out there on the field with the other players? I mean, do you get a bit lippy out there, Kira? Are you one of these lippy ones who like to talk to these other players, or are you the silent one who's getting the lip and you just make your play do the talking?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm like. I like to keep my mouth shut a little bit, but it's definitely the trash talk has decreased since I've gotten older. When I was younger, it was pretty bad.
Really?
And since I've
Wow.
gotten older, I think people just have a lot more like respect for the game and each other. And so I think it's definitely gone away. But yeah, I
That's
definitely try to keep
interesting. I thought it would have been the other way around. I thought the older you get,
to my
the nicer it is at a younger level, but maybe it's just the kids out there who are being all the other lippy ones.
Yeah, I don't know if they think that's how it's supposed to be or what,
Now,
but
with
yeah.
the scholarship, of course, the fun, sorry, at UVic as well, the study aspect. What are you studying, Kira? Kind of where are the studies going to take you outside of rugby?
Currently, I'm in health information sciences, but I think I want to focus more into kinesiology, and I am taking more like kinesiology courses right now. I'm not too sure exactly what I want to do when I'm older, but that's kind of my focus right now.
Is that one of those questions that everybody asks you and you go, oh gosh, I'm sick of answering that question?
Yes, because I never know what the
This
answer
is
is.
where you can totally, every time, I guess, come up with something different. So you could, just make people guess every single time and then just have fun with it. And there's your version of trash talking out there to the people. I'm sick of answering this question. So this week I'm doing zoology. No, next week I'm doing journalism. I don't know what I'm doing this week. Just, keep people guessing.
That's a pretty good idea. I might have to use
Go for it.
that.
You can have that one for free. Do you know the sort of obviously keeping an eye on the current situation with how the pandemic affects rugby and that? But I mean, is there any sort of news or ideas of when you might be able to get a little bit more play going out there? Obviously, heading into winter might make it a little bit more difficult. But I mean, is it a case of waiting till next year now and hoping it's all cleared up by then?
Well, hopefully we might get to do some inter-squad games. We have been doing some, but just touch. But we've been doing a little bit more contact recently, so I'm hoping that the COVID restrictions will loosen up and hopefully in the new year we'll be able to do more stuff. But right now it's we have no idea when we'll be back to full games or all that stuff, but I hope it's soon because I miss it so much.
Let's be honest, Kira, you're just missing hitting people, aren't you? You're missing getting in there into a good old tackle and just bringing someone in. That's what you're missing, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's that physical aspect. That's all that pent-up anger that you had as a jump roper and a gymnast that you're finally being able to get out, and now finally it's like, damn it, it's been taken away from me again. I need to just hit people. Come on.
Exactly.
Kira, it's been a pleasure to chat with you on the show. Congratulations for receiving the fund and best of luck with the career moving forward. And we hope to get you back on the show one day when things are a bit better and you'll be able to out there and hit people and play rugby a little bit more.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Coming up, all the day's news, plus is the biggest junk collector in the country, the Canadian government. Find out why this might be the case next. Vin is a groundbreaking car search app that is a powerful tool to compare prices across dealerships. It's a streamlined way to secure auto financing online and uses its innovative service to have cars delivered right to your home for a test drive. Vin hasn't just brought the auto market online, they've completely changed what it is to buy a car. But don't just take my word for it, take TJ's word for it. TJ said they found their perfect car, filled out all necessary paperwork, and booked their viewing time while sitting at their kitchen table. Or how about SW's word for it, who compliments Vin for their amazing service and highly recommends them due to their best price and quality of their cars. Join real customers TJ and SW right now by visiting vinauto.com. To the day's news now, 56-year-old Ken Weber has been charged with second-degree murder after a 55-year-old woman was found unresponsive in a Langford home on McLeod Place. Weber was arrested at the scene on Friday afternoon and will appear in court on November 19. Westshore RCMP said the incident was isolated but have not clarified how Weber and the woman were connected. The last day of BC ballot counting has locked in an NDP seat count that doubles that of the Liberals and leaves the Greens with just two seats. The Green Party narrowly lost what would have been its first seat not on the island, as mail-in ballots turned a 604-vote lead into a 41-vote loss in West Van Sea to Sky. However, the razor-thin margin has triggered an automatic recount. The parties finished with popular vote shares of 47.7% for the NDP, 33.8% for the Liberals, and 15.1% for the Greens. And city staff appear poised to dismantle two unapproved volunteer-built portable showers at the edge of Beacon Hill Park. When the stalls were set up on Saturday, water had already been cut off to the gravel clearing where they stood, which also contained a hand-washing station. City representatives told the Tyee that the stations violate bylaws and the park trust and that organisers refused to enter a permitting process. Organisers have argued that the city's offer was unrealistic and required wraparound services that the city itself should provide. And before we go today, the government of Canada might have been revealed to be the biggest junk collector in the country, with hoards of seized items, old office furniture, and other random belongings that come into its possession set to be auctioned off to the public. According to the MTL blog, a variety of kooky and intriguing items are up for auction, each with their own storied histories. Some of the items include a sports clock, 127 chairs, 664 boxes of Christmas decorations, a bus, 27 bottles of bleach, and my personal favourite, a Canadian Space Agency utility vehicle. If people are interested in bidding on the items, all they have to do is register on the website gcsurplus.ca and bid on the items, with of course the highest bidder receiving the item at the end of the auction. Now, I really do have my eyes on that Space Agency vehicle, which has a starting bid at only $2,075, so going pretty cheap. Not sure what I could use it for or where I would store it, but I'm sure somehow, some way, I could find the space. And that's it today for the Capital Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. Big congratulations to Neil Dickey, who won last week's Capital Daily Photo Challenge with his great photo of a couple of kayakers pausing to witness Halloween night's full moon rising from behind Mount Baker, with the photo taken from Cattle Point in Oak Bay. A stunning photo that you, of course, can check out on yesterday's Capital Daily newsletter. And at the same time, while you're there, you can find out how you can enter this week's competition to see if you can win that one. My name is Ben Waterworth, and as they say in Australia, no wuckers, mate. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll speak to you tomorrow. Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by VIN. Find and buy a new car, and even test drive it, without once setting foot at a dealership. Visit vinautos.com for more details and check out their new landing page solely for EVs. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week our team will post a weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. This week's theme is West Coast weather. To find out how you can enter, check out Monday's Capital Daily newsletter.